from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the easy bake oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Off and rolling on a Tuesday, August 6, 2024 is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, what's happening, brother?
What's up, man?
All right, now I have to ask you about the show tweet. You put up a Billy Madison quote. Did you watch Billy Madison recently?
No, it's first week of school.
Oh, first week of school. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Back to school.
I did see that. Yeah, on the way.
And I went as Billy Madison for Halloween this past year.
Yeah, you did.
And my wife went as a penguin.
Okay, yeah.
Hello, Mr. Penguin.
Nice. How do you dress to be Billy Madison? Just wear a bunch of mismatched nonsense?
No, it actually took me a long time. I had to go to like 5 or 6 different stores to find a sweater that looked like the one he wore. And then you have to cut it up. You wear an undershirt. You find some boots to wear. Some khaki shorts. It's actually pretty easy. Backwards hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not too difficult at all.
Shout out to all the parents now that they have their kids back in school.
Yes. Shout out to the parents.
They get to enjoy themselves a little bit more at the house or, you know. They don't have to move around constantly with their kid.
Shout out to the parents and praying for the teachers.
Yes, praying for the teachers, as always. Now we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. I want to get off the top of the show with the coaches poll being published yesterday by USA Today, and Memphis being number 30 and being the highest ranked group of 5 team in that poll, with the hopes of potentially getting into the college football playoff as the group of 5 representative. I want to break down the teams that fell right after them. You had Liberty and you had Boise State immediately following. Not in that order. You had Boise State first, then Liberty. I want to break down who is the biggest threat outside of the American Athletic Conference to dethrone Memphis and be the group of 5 representative in the college football playoff. Of course, Memphis is going to have to handle business before they get there. They're going to have to win 11 games. They're going to have to win an AAC conference championship. But I want to break down which team I think is the scariest in the grand scheme of the group of 5. Also, I think that, you know, Memphis basketball has had a very quiet offseason. Would you say that, Connor? Very quiet. Incredibly quiet compared to normal.
Okay.
Compared to normal.
It's like, I don't know. It's been a lot
under,
of...
Under Penny Hardaway, we know that there's drama, different discussions in the offseason. I feel like we've slowed down.
Maybe a quiet yesterday, summer.
Yesterday, what has really caught my eye, Bart Torvik, the new metric that is going to be used by the NCAA tournament committee to decide who gets into the tournament, as well as other metrics. We know the Nets still going to be there. But Bart Horvick didn't like Memphis basketball last year, ever. Ever. Even when they were on top of the world, a top 10 team in the country, and just tore through their non-conference schedule, Bart Horvick was still predicting them to have a fall. And what happened ultimately, Connor? They had a fall. But Bart Horvick, with this team, who's not as star-studded, doesn't have all the perceived talent of last year, this team actually is doing really well with their Bart Horvick projections. I want to break that down at the bottom half of this first segment. But on top of all of that, we're going to have some NFL news. We're going to have to talk about the Olympics. We have some local stuff going on. I mean, for the most part. Did you get to see the pole vaulting last night?
I did,
in prime time in Paris?
We did watch it, yes.
Mondo Duplantis from LSU, but who came in second, it's a little closer to home, Sam Kendricks from Oxford. And went to Ole Miss.
Had a lot of energy.
He got the silver.
Big energy guy.
And did you see he was bleeding heavily, too?
Oh, I think I missed that.
Yeah.
I was running while I was
Sam
watching.
Sam Kendricks
so.
Was, like, bleeding on his final attempt.
I was
kind of amazed by that. But Mondo Duplantis from LSU, good God. I know he's competing for Sweden, but he's from Lafayette, Louisiana, went to LSU. He
made it look effortless.
He broke the world record for the ninth time. He is the GOAT of pole vaulting in the history of the world. It's ridiculous what he's been able to do. But his parents did it. His parents went to LSU. But he always was going to compete for Sweden, which is his parents' home country. So I know there's a lot of people that are like, well, he's from Lafayette, Louisiana. He's an American. Well, he's competing for Sweden, so get over it. So we'll talk about the Olympics as well. The women's gymnastics completely ended last night. It's always kind of a shock to the system when it's completely over, because
it's sad.
You know that the Olympics is coming to a close here relatively soon.
I know. I saw a great tweet that was like, next week when the Olympics are over, I'm going to have to find a new personality trait. And I'm like, kind of same.
Yep.
Kind of same. 100%. I've been super into the Olympics.
You buy
it's
into
just
it.
Been
and
on
and
in
the
my
women's
house.
Gymnastics, you always buy into. You really do.
Is
they're
it?
So dominant and they're so good and they're so fun to watch and they have personalities.
I think it's my favorite event.
Yeah,
I think it's my favorite event.
Yeah, I think
gymnastics.
So.
And outside of basketball.
And it covers most of the calendar of the Olympics, too,
right?
So you get to watch it consistently.
That or swimming. I get super into swimming, too.
We also have USA Men's Basketball playing right now in their first game of the knockout stage, and they are beating the absolute breaks off of Brazil.
You can call it playing, but
what's
they're
it?
Absolutely
one
murdering somebody.
117-82 right now with 150 left in the fourth quarter. Did you see Canada said this is the most talented team ever, and they ended up getting knocked out by France. They're done.
Oh.
They're done. Canada's done.
Sorry.
You thought you were better than you were, eh? My gosh, Canada. Getting knocked out by France in the first game of the knockout stage. You're not going to medal this year.
Man, they did
That's
a lot
brutal.
Of talking, didn't
now,
they?
Of course they did. Of course they did. Because they won the bronze medal in the FIBA World Cup. They thought they were on the way to potentially competing at the highest of levels, medaling in the Olympic Games. That didn't quite happen now, did it? But we'll talk about the Olympics as the show goes along. As far as guests are concerned, we have Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show. And then 6 o'clock, as is customary every single Tuesday, we have Bluff City Media's own Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for them. We have a podcast called the On the Bluff Podcast. Releases every single Tuesday at noon. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. We'll hop into the Blitz shortly after that as the NBA is hatching an idea for a FIBA-NBA crossover. Is this a Noah Lyles? Is this just for Adam Silver and the people in the NBA to tell Noah Lyles to get a life on the World Championship talk? Is that what this is?
Probably so. It definitely
feels, he hatched
the
it.
Seed was planted by
he
Noah
might
Lyles.
Need if this goes through, he might need some of that TV money, because this is he's the one who's probably got this moving into the advanced stages of talks of actually getting to be a yearly tournament.
If the NBA players win, he should have to hand them the trophy. That should be that should be the deal.
And then will he call it a world champion? A championship at that
I
point?
I mean, we can get into it, but it's just semantics, man.
It's
like, that's
ridiculous.
All it is. It's,
yes.
I understand people that don't agree with the calling it world champions, but I'm just like, I don't know, man. It's the collection of the best players in the world, the best NBA team would probably dog walk anybody into seven game series overseas. I'm not that, you know, I'm fine calling it world champions.
Yeah, and I'm still of the opinion, if you put that Celtics team that won the NBA championship against like Team Canada in a 7-game series, they're probably winning that
series. If you put them in the Olympics, how well would they do?
Yes, very well. I'd have to imagine.
Probably medal?
Yeah.
At least?
I would think so. But, again, I agree. It's just semantics. But that is an idea that's being hatched by the NBA right now. And it's hard not to sort of give Noah Lyles a little bit of credit for that.
He deserves credit. Yeah,
and then,
for sure.
And then also we'll be talking. I mentioned the NFL talk. Brandon Ayuk. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network reported, Brandon Ayuk is more likely to be traded than sign an extension with the 49ers. And there's some teams out there that have framework that he can say no to. I know the Steelers and the Commanders are teams that are sort of bidding for his services right now. There's a lot going into this Brandon Ayuk story. 49ers may lose him, and we'll see what happens. If they get a good return for him, if Brandon Ayuk gets paid, it's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of days because he's still holding out, but he's not participating with the 49ers, so I don't know how much value he has with them, but we'll talk about that in the Blitz as well. Now, the preseason coaches poll came out yesterday. We know Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama at the top, but I don't want to go to the top. I want to go to the bottom. Others receiving votes. Memphis came in at 30th with 44 votes. After that, Boise State was the team immediately following them in the group of five ranks with 30 votes. Liberty had 12. They were the team following Boise State. And it really brought to my attention, who is the biggest threat to this Memphis team in the group of five to take that spot in the college football playoff? Because as of right now, it seems like Memphis, based on polls, projections, everything else, they are the favorite team. If you go into ESPN today, Harry Lyles wrote a very interesting story about Memphis, and it was, will Memphis be able to reach a college football playoff? And he talked with Seth Hennigan, talked with Chandler Martin, talked with Ryan Silverfield. I think it's a really interesting article that he wrote up that I think a lot of Memphis fans need to go read into, because this is the biggest set of expectations has ever been placed on this program in the history of the Memphis football program. So go check that out. But it brought to my attention, okay, Boise State and Liberty, let's just break them down because I think they are the two biggest threats. But I think you put yourself in two different categories when you're talking about these two teams. And I think it's similar to what Memphis is going to deal with in the American Athletic Conference. When you look at the American Athletic Conference poll, the Media Days poll, it's Memphis at the top with 23 of 30 first place votes. Then UTSA followed them with 4, and Tulane followed them with 2 first place votes. So I think it's very similar in the sense that there are teams that have better rosters, that have more returning continuity, but one team has a really easy schedule. So if we're going back to the group of five and we're talking about Boise State and we're talking about Liberty, Boise State, in my opinion, is the scariest roster outside of Memphis in the group of five. Malachi Nelson at quarterback, a former five-star who has moved around a couple of times, hit the transfer portal. Boise State was able to land this guy, and they have really high hopes for what he can become. He's a redshirt freshman, and we know that the quarterback's the most important position on the field, and to have a former five-star at quarterback in his freshman season at a group of five program, that's massive. That puts you at the top of the heap. There's no surprise why Memphis is at the top of the heap with Seth Hennigan. We're 4 years into this thing. He started as a true freshman at 17 years old, and he's been able to grow. But you have that returning quarterback that you trust. Seems like Boise State, yeah, he's not a returning quarterback, but he's a former five-star. They trust him. They also have Ashton Jeanty at running back, who was a guy that was being bidded on heavily in the transfer portal before he returned to Boise State. Spencer Danielson doing a good job as the head coach. They had a top half defense in the country last year. A lot of returning talent. So I look at that roster, and I think it's the scariest roster outside of Memphis in the group of five. But when you get to Liberty, this is the discussion you have to have, and I think it's similar between UTSA and Tulane. Tulane's a scarier roster. UTSA has what Liberty has, and that's a very, very easy schedule. So, yeah, I think that Boise State, I think that Tulane, they're bigger threats to Memphis than UTSA and potentially Liberty. But when you look at those two schedules, it is terrifyingly easy. UTSA has the easiest schedule in conference. That's why they're picked second in the AAC. And Liberty, let's just go down the schedule for funsies. For funsies. You ready for this, Connor?
I pulled it up, and it's shockingly easy.
Open with Campbell. Go on the road to New Mexico State. Return back home to play UTEP. Then you come back home, and your hardest out-of-conference, get this, hardest out-of-conference game. This is their toughest out-of-conference game against the toughest conference that they will play. East Carolina, who's picked right now seventh in the American Athletic Conference, and they're tied with Rice at seventh. That's their toughest out-of-conference game. Then they're going to go ahead and go on the road against App State, which is the one chance they really will have to slip up. We'll see what happens. Return back home against Florida International, who just named their stadium after freaking Pitbull. Name their stadium after Pitbull. We'll talk about that in small talk. We'll get to that and sort of relate it to the to the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Then they're going to go on the road against Kennesaw State in Kennesaw State's first year in Division I. Then they return back home against Jacksonville State. That could be a challenge, but being at home definitely helps them. Then they have Middle Tennessee, UMass, Western Kentucky, and Sam Houston State to end the year. That is as easy a schedule as you could possibly imagine for a team that you're going to be competing against to get that spot in the college football playoff from the group of five ranks. Now, there is still the chance, don't get it twisted, that Liberty could slip up. I understand that. But when you have a guy like Caden Salter at quarterback, when you have the coaching that you have with that program, when you see a team go 12-0 and return most of their starters that got them to that point last year in the New Year's Six bowl game against Oregon where they lost 45-6, it's hard for me to imagine that Liberty's going to slip up with the amount of experience and the coaching that they have against this type of schedule. So I think there's two different realms we have to put teams in when we're talking about Memphis's biggest threats. Which teams have the best rosters in conference? I'd say that's USF and Tulane, and they're going to play both of those teams on the road. But also, which teams have the chance to be there with you because their schedule is as easy as possible? I think Liberty and UTSA fit those categories. It's going to be strange to watch. I think Memphis, when you look at their schedule and what they're going to have to accomplish with Liberty out there with the schedule they have, Memphis is going to have to potentially be 12-1 and be comfortable, and they have to win the AAC championship to be comfortable in getting into the college football playoff. Anything less than that, if you have two losses, if you have three losses, you're going to lose out to a team like Liberty, because Liberty has a very strong chance to go 12-0 or 11-1 this year. You have to be careful about the slip-ups you have, because there's a lot of other teams in the group of five that have simple, easy, straightforward schedules that they will run through.
It really is interesting that you have an example of each in your conference and then out of conference with Boise State, Liberty, and then UTSA and Tulane. And, you know, I think that the FPI, you can just see it in the FPI rankings when you go and look at it. It really likes UTSA, but it's because their schedule is... it's pretty much nothing. Like, they have a couple games in there where they might be able
to slip
up. Their
toughest games against Memphis.
At
home,
right,
too.
Right. And that is one where I think all of us expect Memphis should win that game. They
gotta
should win
business.
That game. But you got to handle business against those two teams and then just hope that Boise State slips up. I mean, we know that they're probably going to lose to Oregon. And then there's a couple other games in there that...
they have Washington State and Oregon State. They have more of an opportunity. UNLV on the road.
Right.
They have some opportunities to slip up, Boise State. That's why you put a team like Liberty ahead of them as the preseason continues to roll along, because I don't see any opportunities, really, for Liberty to slip up. But I will say, the positive spin on the whole thing with Liberty, positive spin on UTSA, they lose one game, they put themselves behind the eight ball.
Well, it's
if they have one slip up, they are putting themselves in a very bad situation.
The only two games I could realistically see Liberty losing are East Carolina or Appalachian State. Like, those are the only two.
Western Kentucky is always an interesting one.
Maybe.
But they're at home.
Right.
So that's going to help them. Jacksonville State, I guess, is on the outside. That could be one. But Liberty's going to be favored in every single game that they play this year. Can't say the same about Boise State. Can't say the same about Memphis. Can't say the same about Tulane. Can't say the same about South Florida, even. Can't say the same about Texas State, who is another team that's a dark horse to potentially be that group of five represented in the college football playoff. But Liberty, to me, because of that schedule, they've been sort of gifted a great opportunity to be that first Group of Five team in the college football playoff. I don't think that their roster is as good as the rest of the teams in the Group of Five.
Do you think they have to go undefeated? I know you.
I think that yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You think they have to go undefeated?
And I wonder how much, as we get to the last couple of weeks of the season, I wonder how much last year's game against Oregon in that New Year's Six bowl game is going to be fresh on their minds. 45-6, they didn't even compete. They didn't come close to competing because they hadn't seen anybody even close to that level by the time they saw Oregon last year in that New Year's Six bowl game. And they got absolutely splattered. So if they go undefeated and another team in the Group of Five has one loss and wins their conference championship, I think that team that's not Liberty will get in, whether it's Memphis or Boise State or Texas State, all these different schools. But if Liberty goes undefeated and you have more than one slip-up in the rest of the Group of Five from those top teams, Liberty's going to be the team that gets in.
You know, that's a really interesting point that you've brought up, and I'm not sure we've actually really discussed it at large. With the expanded college football playoff, do you think quality of matchup will come into play with them selecting the team out of the Group of Five?
It depends how many losses and slip-ups you have.
Right, but do you see what I'm saying, though? Because in the past, with the college football playoff, everybody's been so upset because, you know, we've seen a lot of games just be absolute blowouts, and it just feels like in the expanded version of it, they want to make sure that all of the games are at least quality, or they as quality as they could possibly be. So, yeah, I see if there's an 11-1 Liberty team out there, but you have a 10-2 Memphis team that won its conference, you probably lean toward Memphis.
You probably would, yes. Because Liberty, in my opinion, they can't slip up. You can't lose to Western Kentuckys. You can't lose to App States on the road if you want to make the college football playoff. And that goes for Memphis as well. You can't, I mean, they have a lot more opportunities to slip up, but you can't lose more than one of those games that you have on the road, those five against Florida State, Navy, and Tulane, and USF, and UTSA. You can't lose more than one of those games. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But the teams with the easiest schedules, somehow I am scared of them more than the teams that have good rosters.
I was just about
that
to ask.
That is the strangest reality of where Memphis is placed in this Group of Five hierarchy.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. Power rank the four teams that we've talked about in terms of
roster?
No, just in terms of your worry that they could grab the spot for Memphis.
I think it goes Liberty, then I'm going to go Boise State, then I'm going to go Tulane. I think then UTSA, because UTSA I still think, I know they have an easy schedule, but I'm not a big believer in them. They've lost way too much. They lost an OC 2 years ago. They don't have a quarterback that they trust right this second. Their running back, Sincere McCormick, left 2 years ago. They have an offensive line that's completely rebuilt. Their defense has to be completely rebuilt. Yeah, they've done well in the transfer portal. They've done decent recruiting, but a lot of things have to come together for UTSA to be great. And I think even though they have an easy schedule, I think they'll slip up. So I'd say in that order, you would go Liberty, Boise State, Tulane, and then UTSA. Those are the scariest teams when I sort of power rank them. And Liberty is at the top for one reason and one reason only. It has nothing to do, or very little to do, with the roster that they're going to put out there. I don't think their defense is very good. I don't necessarily believe in their skill position players at this particular moment. But you have a really good quarterback, good running back, decent offensive line, decent coaching, and the easiest schedule that I have possibly seen of teams that could compete for that spot in the college football playoff for the Group of Five ranks.
Fair enough.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's something to pay attention to throughout the season. Now, I have some reason to be hopeful about this Memphis basketball season. It's been quiet. I understand that. For the most part, compared to Penny Hardaway's past off seasons, there's a lot less moving parts, a lot less drama. You have all the guys on campus, and you feel like they're pulling in the right direction. But I still see this 50-50 split. Is P.J. Haggerty going to be what he's cracked up to be? Is he going to do what he did at Tulsa at Memphis now that he has more pieces around him, now that he's in a space where he is expected to win consistently? There's more pressure, there's more expectation. Is Tyrese Hunter going to step up and be that guy? Dane Danger, what's he going to look like? There's this split among this fan base about where this team is at. I think last year, the hope was way higher. I think last year, when you look at the perceived talent, you had Javon Quinterly, who was a sixth man of the year in the SEC. You had Jordan Brown, who was a Lou Henson Award winner, 19 points and 9 rebounds at Louisiana. He was tabbed as the best player in the mid-major ranks. You had Jaquan Walton, who was a three-point specialist at Wichita State, their best player, shooting 40% from three. You have David Jones, who was a 22-point-per-game scorer. You had a star-studded lineup. But ultimately, we saw that team completely fall apart by the time they got to their conference schedule. Now, there was one metric that I, you know, spoke against last year. I learned my lesson, and they now have become one of the metrics that's going to be used for the NCAA committee by the time we get to tournament time. But that's Bart Torvik. And Bart Torvik last year, I was trying to make sense of it. Even when Memphis was unbelievable in the out-of-conference, even when they were number 10 in the country, they never reached this high-ranking metric in the Bart Torvik realm. They never really got over the hump. And you had questions as to why that was the truth. But I think the defensive identity that Penny puts out there, the lack of defense, these guys didn't really want to cover. You were always forcing a square peg into a round hole with that team last year. I think all that culminated for Memphis to never be very high in the Bart Torvik predictive metric. But going into this season, Bart Torvik has put out his preseason metrics, and Memphis, get this, Connor, at number 26, that's higher than they ever were last year, even in the out-of-conference. And you know, I think on the surface, you say that's surprising. That's super surprising. It's a predictive metric. And last year, if you were predicting what that team would have been with all of the stars that they had, the recruiting they did on the recruiting trail, you would have said this team should be way higher than 26. This team should be a top 25 team in a predictive metric, especially after what they did in the out-of-conference. But when you actually break down the way this team is assembled, it's less surprising to me. It's less surprising. You have Tyrese Hunter, P.J. Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Barack Okoji, Nick Jourdain, Musa Cisse, all really good defense, Tyreek Smith, all really good defensive players with a defensive coach in Penny Hardaway. They have good defensive metrics. So when you plug them into the computer, you start to see that the identity is back. The identity is more back than it was a year ago. Last year, you had a bunch of offensive players that wanted to play offense, get their shots up. They didn't really share the ball all that well. You had the team chemistry issues. This year, you have a bunch of guys that played roles on their particular teams, and they know how to fit into a team scheme. They play more defense. Even if they're not great defensively, they certainly have the ability to try on that end, which you didn't have a year ago. So I know it's surprising on the surface when you think about the names. Last year's team looked a lot deeper than this year's team. But when you dive into the defense, the numbers, the stats that these players, this collection of players has put together in their collegiate careers, you start to understand why going into the preseason, going into next basketball season, this team may be a whole lot better, may be way more consistent, may be able to mesh better with Penny Hardaway and his coaching style. So I understand where it could be surprising, but this is definitely a whole lot of hope for a team that I think the fan base is split on at this particular moment.
No, I totally agree with you. I think the reason you and I have been cautiously optimistic about this team heading into the season is because we like the way that they have built the roster with the defensive mindset. Yeah, the players may not be as sexy as the big names that were coming in last year, but they fit Penny Hardaway's scheme more. And I still believe in Penny Hardaway, especially as a defensive coach. You know, there are some issues on the offensive side of the basketball, and there is too much drama around the program. But overall, Penny's bread and butter has been defense. And those are the players that he brought in. You have P.J. Haggerty that can hopefully give you the offensive punch, but all of the guys are going to be defensive-minded first, and that is going to lead to winning basketball, in my opinion. And that's why I wasn't shocked when you told me those numbers. I was like, yeah, because I think that this is more similar to the team that we had a couple years ago with guys like
2022, yes, Kendrick exactly. Davis, DeAndre Williams.
Exactly. It seems like that they
Deontay
went back
Kennedy.
To what has been the most successful version of Penny Hardaway basketball at the University of Memphis, and it was that team. So this offseason, we were saying, hopefully they are going to take the lessons of last year and correct them this offseason. And it appears so, the way that they have been moving, the way they've been recruiting, the way they've been putting this team together, it appears that the goal is to get back to that team, to try to get back to that team as close as they possibly can. So I am in favor of what the University of Memphis basketball team is doing. I'm cautiously optimistic about this season. That non-con schedule is going to be hell, but I think that they can get through it. If you pick up a couple big wins there, you'll give yourself a little bit of a landing pad if you struggle in conference. They shouldn't, but just in case they do, like they did last year, hopefully you can pick up a couple of wins and make it back to the tournament. That's all we want this year. Make it back to the NCAA tournament, and I think this is the team that can get it done.
Now, yesterday on our morning show on Sportsmanlike, Chris Canty, the resident Super Bowl champion, you hear it all the time on all the promos we have right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Chris Canty, he's a massive Michael Jordan fan. And we had the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction last weekend after the Hall of Fame game. And a guy by the name of Julius Peppers, who's up there in age at this point, he got inducted and he went to North Carolina, played basketball. But he basically gave a lot of credit to Michael Jordan. And Chris Canty used that to make a debate point, make a MJ over Bron argument. I want to play the sound next, and I want to tell you why this argument fits in line with the way Michael Jordan fans are trying to debate MJ over Bron these days. I understand why they're doing it. I'll tell you why they're doing it on the other side. That's going to be next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's this entire segment by saying I love our morning show. You have Evan Cohen, you have Michelle Smallman, you have Chris Canty. I think they're phenomenal. Unsportsmanlike is one of the best shows on radio right now. I really appreciate it. Good lead in to Jeff's show. It's a good show. But yesterday on Unsportsmanlike, resident Super Bowl champion Chris Canty, he made a debate segment out of Michael Jordan and LeBron. And obviously, he's a massive Michael Jordan fan. It's who he grew up with, and that's going to be very massive here in just a moment. And maybe, and I really think hopefully, his argument was tongue-in-cheek, although it didn't quite seem that way. But I want to go ahead and play this sound from Chris Canty yesterday on Unsportsmanlike. It was a Michael Jordan over LeBron argument, and it had to do with the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction speeches that we saw over the weekend. Connor, go ahead and hit it, then let's talk about it.
The 2024 Pro Football Hall of Fame class was enshrined in Canton this weekend. Congrats to all of the inductees. Not sure anyone had it on the board that the Hall of Famer that would steal the show at this year's ceremony never played football. In his acceptance remarks, defensive end Julius Peppers said, and I quote, "This isn't in my speech, but I'm going to say it anyways. And while I'm talking about Chapel Hill in North Carolina, and I know this is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I ain't going to sit up here and act like my idol and one of the reasons that I went to Chapel Hill isn't in the building. The GOAT is in the building. Michael Jordan, MJ, I want to thank you for the inspiration and the memories. Love you, big bro," end quote. Even amongst the greatest football players of all time, the reaction and the reverence that they showed for Michael Jordan is next level. LeBron could never. LeBron just could never. Like I'm seeing Rod Woodson. I'm seeing Emmitt Smith. I'm talking about the GOATs, guys that got gold jackets, revering MJ, saying, "Hey, big dog, it's been a long time." Literally fanboying out with Michael Jordan, who was there to celebrate little bro Julius Peppers getting into the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, LeBron James could never. That's why MJ is the GOAT. We saw this at the NBA Top 75 anniversary, yeah. Like when all of the players on the Top 75 team were announced, and then Michael Jordan was the last one, and everything parted like the Red Sea to let Michael Jordan get to the middle of the podium where they had him standing alone and everyone else around him. But this was just an extension of that. We're at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio. We talk about Devin Hester and Randy Gratishar and all of the greats going in, Dwight Freeney, all of these guys going into the Hall of Fame, and yet Michael Jordan was the center of attention.
Steals the show.
He steals the show. Like, I mean, just LeBron could never.
All right, now he says LeBron could never. And this is what has really bothered me. And again, I love Unsportsmanlike, love Chris Canty, really enjoy listening to that show. But this has got to be one of the dumbest arguments that we've seen for MJ over Bron. But honestly, it falls in line with where we're at in this entire debate because of where LeBron is in his era of the NBA. There should be no damn surprise, like just absolutely zero surprise, that a guy that went to North Carolina, that played basketball, ultimately became an NFL Hall of Famer, and he's 44 years of age. He was born in 1980. His formative years were watching Michael Jordan in the NBA when he was 15, 16, 17, watching Michael Jordan win championship after championship with the Chicago Bulls. There should be no surprise that guy has a lot. He loves Michael Jordan. There should be no surprise there. Now, what I would say to Chris Canty is let's wait another 10 years. Let's wait till this new age, new generation of NFL Hall of Famer gets up there. Maybe we'll have some odes to LeBron James. Maybe we'll see something like that, and they will talk about LeBron James and how damn good he was in his era. But this fits in line with MJ over Braun debate sort of topics at this particular moment in time. We can't talk about the stats because LeBron owns all of those. I'll talk about that in a second. But now we talk about shoe sales. We talk about, oh, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Julius Peppers. Oh, LeBron could never. LeBron could never. Julius Peppers gave an ode to Michael Jordan in his Pro Football Hall of Fame speech. They talk about Michael Jordan. Oh, well, he was the first billionaire that was in an NBA, that was an NBA player, a former NBA player. We'll talk about all these things. Oh, he's great in business. That's why MJ's the GOAT. But we neglect to talk about, and I think you have to separate eras to a certain extent. We always talk about that. But we neglect to talk about LeBron James and what he's been able to do since he's come into the NBA because it completely defeats the argument of MJ over LeBron. LeBron, since entering the NBA, first in championships, first in finals MVPs, first in wins, first in points, first in MVPs, first in All-Star nominations, first in All-NBA nominations, first in PER, first in VORP, first in win shares, first in 20, 30, and 40-point games, first in playoff points, first in playoff assists, first in playoff rebounds, first in playoff series wins, first in playoff game winners, and first in clutch points. We have now devolved as a MJ-Bron debating society to where we have to lift up MJ because of his business dealings and who he's inspiring. And I can't leave LeBron out of that conversation either. It's not like his shoes aren't flying off the shelves. It's not like he's not a billionaire. He is. First NBA billionaire while he's still playing. It's not like he doesn't have great business dealings considering, you know, where he's at in his career. All the off-the-court stuff, building a school, doing all these different things. And also, when we talk about him, you know, bringing different athletes up to their pro Hall of Fame speeches, let's wait a little bit of time. A lot of these guys that grew up watching LeBron, a lot of these guys that were influenced by LeBron are still playing. Julius Peppers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Michael Jordan have the ability to, you know, Julius Peppers was born in 1980. He's had 5 years since the end of his career. Of course he got in, and of course he gave an ode to Michael Jordan because it fits the timeline of where we're at. We're not at the LeBron James timeline yet. But it just makes me laugh to see the arguments for Michael Jordan in this day and age. We can't talk about the stats anymore because LeBron has torn through those. We can't talk about the era of basketball that was influenced by LeBron because he has done so much more with his platform, arguably, than Michael Jordan at this particular moment in time. We have to resort to these ridiculous, off-the-court, businessman, who's he influencing conversations that have no bearing on who's better all time. It's insane to me where we have devolved to. But I think Chris Canty sort of fell in line with that and tried to make his case regardless.
Listen, if you're a Jordan person, you're a Jordan person.
Sure.
Nothing's going to change your mind. But come on. Like, this argument's silly. And at the and to be honest, trying to make this argument during the Olympics when LeBron was the flag bearer and you're seeing him turn everybody, Olympic athletes around him into children when they're in his presence. I don't know.
Watch how the team acts around LeBron James. We have 12 All-Stars or 11 other All-Stars on this Team USA team. And look at how they treat LeBron James. Like he's a damn god walking in front of them. Like he's a god in their midst.
I'm going to take holding the American flag during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics over being mentioned during a Hall of Fame ceremony.
And I think here's the other part of it. To say LeBron could never is completely false. I guarantee as we get into the future, when LeBron's out of the game for 5 or 10 years, we will have plenty of people that get into their Hall of Fame in whatever sport that show reverence for LeBron James. To say he can never has got to be one of the most ridiculous takes I've ever heard.
Well, all of those players are still playing, too. They haven't necessarily retired yet. I have a feeling that if LeBron is at Hall of Fame ceremonies moving forward, we may see people mention that LeBron is in the building. Also, he went to North Carolina. Of course he's going to mention Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's really not that hard to understand. But, again, we have devolved this conversation into everything but basketball because all of the basketball metrics and stats favor a guy by the name of LeBron James. Let me go through them again just for the MJ fans out there. That's what I want to do. First in championships, first in finals MVPs, first in points, first in MVPs, first in All-Star nominations, first in All-NBA nominations, first in PER, first in Forbes, first in win shares, first in 20, 30, and 40-point games, first in playoff points, first in playoff assists, first in playoff rebounds, first in playoff series wins, first in playoff game winners, and first, of course, even though he got, you know, castigated for this early in his career, first in clutch points. First in clutch points. Now, the Olympics are going on right now. We know LeBron is leading Team USA. They just handled Brazil relatively easily. They will go on, and I believe they will play Serbia, because Serbia got through, so we'll get a Joel Embiid and Jokic sort of matchup. I want to see how that goes. But also, in the Olympics, I was watching, you know, the Olympics in primetime last night, watching the final event. The floor routine for women's gymnastics was great. Rebeca Andrade from Brazil ended up winning. Simone Biles got silver. Jordan Chiles got bronze. I didn't understand when reading the story yesterday before watching how Jordan Chiles ended up getting the bronze. I knew that it was a score correction, but I didn't realize how rough it was
to
watch.
Did you see the video?
It was really hard to watch.
She had the flag.
I watched it, and Jordan Chiles won after a score correction, which sent her fifth to third. Timothy Chiles, her dad, beating his chest. Proud parent. And that was awesome. He just pure elation on that side. And Jordan Chiles was crying, and Simone Biles was supporting her in that entire moment. But then on the other side, There's a woman by the name of Anna Barbosu from Romania who was third at the time that Jordan Chiles got the score correction. She was so excited when she thought she claimed bronze. Then when Jordan Chiles jumped up over top of her to put her in fourth and Jordan Chiles in third to get the bronze, that was hard to watch, wasn't it? That was really tough to watch. I know that we have this nationalism. I know that we really love to see the USA win. But to see that woman from Romania, Anna Barbosu, have to go through that in that moment, that was really tough. That was nasty stuff. Now, I will say this. I hope these women are happy to be done, because seeing Simone Biles warm up, even in Olympics in primetime or the Paris in primetime, she was in a walking boot when she did her interview with Mike Tirico last night. I know their ankles, their knees, their hips, everything is shot. I know that the mat and everything, it has a little give to it, but when you're flipping from 12 feet 2 inches in the air, there's not that much give regardless.
Gabe, I ran a mile and a half yesterday and did some push-ups, and I can barely move today. I could not even imagine being an Olympic athlete flipping around for basically a week and a half straight every single day.
We also got to see Mondo Duplantis break the world record for the 9th time in the pole vault, jumping 6.25 meters to become a back-to-back Olympic champion in the pole vault. And he did it for Sweden, but he's from Lafayette, Louisiana, went to LSU. He is now tied for the most pole vault golds, and get this, only 24 years of age. He's going to be able to do this more. So he is the GOAT. He's one of the GOATs of the field version of the track and field. Silver medalist hits a little closer to home. Sam Kendrick, shout out to Ole Miss and Oxford. He ended up handling business, but he just didn't come close. He can't come close to Mondo Duplantis. It's ridiculous what he's been able to accomplish. We had USA Women's Soccer handled themselves. They got through. They're in the gold medal game against Brazil or Spain. We're going to be able to see who that is later today. I already mentioned it, but in basketball, we had Canada lose to France. I love all the crap they were talking heading into these Olympics, just for them to get knocked out immediately once they got into the knockout stage. France is very good, though. France is really, really good. And those twin towers there in the middle of Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert.
Maybe phenomenal. Better without
now,
Gobert.
Now, I will say this. I did see from Brian Windhorst earlier today that they're thinking about putting Rudy Gobert on the bench, which I find to be kind of strange. I guess they want to play a little smaller and put Victor Wembanyama at the five? Is that the idea?
I mean, they've played better without him, to be quite honest with you.
It seems like France or Germany, probably the team that'll get through to potentially play the U.S. in the gold medal game? Does that seem about fair?
I think so. Heading into the games, I think everybody would have said Germany or Canada, probably the two biggest threats to Team USA for the gold. And now it just appears, in my opinion, France just took Canada's spot.
Well, Canada's supposed to be their golden age. This is supposed to be the most talent they've had on a team.
A Jamal Murray conversation needs to be had. Something's up with them.
What do you mean? Well, something's amiss with Jamal Murray.
He hasn't been right for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also when he's not in that system with Jokic.
Playing with the best player in the world has an impact.
That has an effect.
Are you saying
on
that
Jamal
going,
Murray?
Wait.
So going from Nikola Jokic to Trey Lyles and Kelly Olynyk.
I was about to say
its issues.
Going from Jokic to Dylan Brooks doesn't make you a better basketball player?
Yeah. That seems to be a problem for Team Canada and for Jamal Murray. But I will say, like, nothing's dropping for him right now. Even at the end of the regular season, end of the playoffs, he just has not been himself.
He just doesn't have much lift on his jump shot
Since they won a championship with the Denver Nuggets, he just has been, man.
Something's going on with his leg.
I don't understand it.
Something to keep an eye on heading into next season.
No question about it. It could affect the Western Conference standings, so pay attention to that. But if you want to bet the games, we still have a chance. I know we're getting close to the end, but the best place to bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet all your favorite international teams and all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton and soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all. So don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK to sign up and start betting the games today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. We need to transition into hour number two, and opening it up is Jeff Calkins. I want to talk to him not just about Memphis football and Memphis basketball, but he has a house that he always visits in Michigan. He has a lot of family in Michigan. We have to talk about what happened yesterday with the Michigan football team receiving their notice of allegations for sign stealing. That's going to be next, 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.